Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journey series, interviews with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers. Today we continue our conversation with Edward Jones. We're visiting this afternoon with Edward Jones. His new series of short stories is All Aunt Hagar's Children, and we had a little conversation about whether it's aunt or aunt, and it kind of depends on where you're from. One of the unavoidable subjects of the experience of those who left slavery and headed into the wider world is the role of religion and God. I mean, all of these stories, there's this just God and phrases about God, and God has a memory, and God's going to punish, and God's going to do this.
God blinks.
And yet, I remember when I talked to you, you went to was it a Jesuit school or
Holy Cross?
You went to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things for me, because most of my experience with the African American community has been with Baptist or a Methodist type upbringing, but you introduce characters that are being sent to Catholic schools, you know, in D.C. The young girl in mm-hmm. Spanish in the Morning. Mm-hmm. She's going to go there and get an education. It's very, very important. Mm-hmm. How does the role of God play itself out throughout these stories?
Well, I think for some characters, he's a central part of their lives. They're very religious people.
Yeah.
In those cases. So they suffer, you know, but they believe that God is watching out for them, and then at the end of it all, they will be in heaven, and they'll be able to have tea and crumpets with God forever after.
Yeah.
And there are other people who believe, as Moses did in the known world, that God is a trickster.
Yeah.
And he's playing tricks on every single human being. And I suppose there are other people who believe that there's no God out there.
What's interesting, though, is there was actually just a study released just this last week.
Yeah, about the four, yeah. I saw something quick in USA Today.
Yeah, and one of the findings was that the African American community is the most believing community in terms of some belief that God is involved in their life. So it's almost like inescapable.
Yeah.
I mean, as a writer telling the stories, it's there.
Yeah, if you're writing about those people, then, you know, my job is to talk about them without stepping on their religion.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any religion, but I'm not going to get another kind of religion by stepping on someone else's, especially when I'm creating characters.
Yeah.
You know,
was your mother religious?
She was. She was a Baptist. Yeah.
Really? And it was an important part of her journey?
Well, she wasn't a church-going person. And she, and this is something that I live by as well, you don't need to go to church every Sunday to be a good person.
Right.
And she was a good person. And so for most of the years, she never went to church. But she was a very religious person.
Yeah.
You know, one episode I will never forget, I was in... She was in the hospital. She had a stroke. And a woman from her job came to visit her. And the woman said, the reason why I'm here is because when I started that job, no one would share their locker with me. Hmm. But your mother came forward.
Hmm.
And so she was a good-hearted person. But she didn't need church for that.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is that so many people in this country think that church will solve it for them. You know, and some of them are scoundrels.
But it's very common for people to talk today about being on a spiritual journey but not a religious journey. In other words, they still think the spiritual is important. They believe in some way God is important, but not as boxed and packaged in religion. Mm. Would that be part of your story?
Or? Well, no, because I'm primarily, when I write, the stories take place in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah.
So I'm writing about people before all this new stuff happened.
Yeah.
Unless there's a reason, for example, something about drugs, then the people will either be in the 50s or the 60s.
Yeah.
Or if in the South, then it's the 40s or 30s or something like that. So it's rare that I will do a story that takes place beyond the 70s, for example. If I do one like that, it's because I cannot put it in the 50s or 60s.
What is it about writing about that era that is your home?
Well, you know,
as a writer.
Yeah, because I came of age then in the 50s and 60s. You know, I started realizing the complexity of the world and everything that goes along with that. So when I imagine characters, they're almost always in that time period.
Yeah. The opening line of Resurrecting Methuselah, this is one of those moments where from the very first words of the story, I had this sense of dread because I sensed that there were two stories taking place at the same time and they're going to connect.
Yeah. Huh.
The father is with a prostitute on a military, you know, off a military base.
In Okinawa, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his wife is at home with their sick child.
Mm-hmm.
That there's pain just in that setup alone.
Yeah.
The woman taking care of a child wondering what her husband is doing.
Yeah.
If she knew what her husband was doing, it would shatter her.
Yeah. She's even at that point, though, there's been this history, and she's already on the way to saying goodbye to it all.
Yes.
And it will take the trip to Hawaii for that to happen.
Yeah.
And again, I think I'm seeing a little theme here, because what happens in Hawaii has to do with candy.
Yeah, the Necco wafers.
Yeah,
the disappointing Necco wafers.
Yeah, and the Mary Janes and all of that. You know, sort of a similar thing happens with the title one, with the narrator and All Antigua's Children. Candy.
A lot of storytellers believe they're just telling stories and they don't have an intention for the reader. And it sounds like you would say the same thing, but...
Yeah.
But there is an effect on the reader. When I read these stories, I feel I understand something of a certain slice of our population in a certain place that gives me an empathy, that helps me understand the actions that, if I didn't know these stories, would be less... I'd have less of a capacity to understand them. I mean, are you conscious of that as a storyteller?
No, again, I'm in the thick of it. And so I go in one story and do the best that I can and then go on to the next story. I don't have any agenda. I don't have any issues I want to get across. But, of course, I have my own beliefs. You know, I have a certain philosophy, a mild one, about living life. And you cannot help but have that sort of seep into the stories.
Yeah.
Even though you don't do that on, so you don't push that on a conscious level.
Is that philosophy of life kind of do unto others kind of philosophy?
Yeah, essentially what my mother believed, you know, that was it.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah, yeah.
Be kind, be good.
Yeah, you treat
everybody.
Do no harm. Yeah, yeah. That's what you try to do.
There are so many amazing little insights. One of them, one of your characters, the young guy that's thinking about going to Alaska, one of the sub-stories is a white woman falls into his arms and dies. And he thinks about giving her mouth-to-mouth to resuscitate her. But in his mind, he's hearing his mother's words about what's going to happen if he ever kisses a white girl. Now, see, if you're not raised with a consciousness of what it's like to be in a racial, you know, you never would think of anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all come from where we come from, and that's it.
Well, it's why I think fiction is so important as a way of helping us hear stories, understand each other's stories.
Yeah, but see, when I did that, it wasn't because I wanted someone to understand those
absolutely
people. It was my effort to give as much detail so that you would always see the character.
And you do.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing stuff, and it's the same reasons that people enjoyed Edward Jones' The Known World are going to come back to them as you read this series of stories, All Aunt Hager's Children. And I hope you will pick it up at the local bookstore and spend some more time with Edward Jones. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
This concludes our conversation with Edward Jones. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.